CliffCentral.com.
Alrighty, good morning everybody. What was that face all about, Sia? What are you looking at me like that for? What have I done? What did I do wrong?
You froze a little on my side in not the most pleasing, aesthetically pleasing way.
Yeah, try to find an angle on me that is pleasing. I dare you. People have tried for years. Ask any photographer in Johannesburg, they'll tell you it's impossible.
Well, I wanted to keep this to myself, but the past, because I also did the show from here on Friday, so the past two shows, yeah. I've realized how much I've valued being at home in my own concoction of trying to look good. Because I don't have the ring light anymore. Now I go, wait a minute, is that ring light?
And you know what it's like in front of those TV cameras? It's even more unforgiving. You basically just look like a monster the whole time. That's how it works. Morning, Flax. Good to see you, Flax. What's happening?
Morning. Man? Good to see everyone on this nice, cold winter morning. When is winter done? Yeah.
Well, no, it's going to be a while still. I mean, like, technically, it only really starts today, and then it's June, July, August.
And then September. This is how it works.
That's technically. I mean, we've discussed this a million times, but let me go through it again for the sake of my own clarity on this. So there are 12 months in the year, right? There are 12 months in the year. Each season, there are four seasons, has 3 months. Four times three is 12. So you've got June, July, August, our winter. Technically, obviously there are, you know, they're going to be like warmer days in winter, but technically those 3 months are meant to be pure winter. Then you've got September, October, November is spring. December, January, February is summer. And March, April, May is meant to be autumn. So we've just ended autumn and here we are, brand new month, ready to start the day.
And then does it work like a cold front will hit and then that's the temperature chosen for the winter?
Yeah, no. Well, no, because they come and go, but it's just, it's horrible. So listen, this is the worst time to be waking up early. And for all those people who are up early, I see David and Tracy and Andre and Ruth and Mapelo and Lenice and Mfundo and Melissa and everybody else who's sending us messages this morning. Yeah, this is when you know you're a loyal, hardworking, responsible human being, when you can get up in the depths of winter and you can get your work done. When it's like this. Sia says it's raining where he is. You're at the studio, is it raining?
When I woke up this morning, I woke up to rain. There was a bit of a thunderstorm that woke me up in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
Oh, but it just... Oh,
it was a massive thunderstorm. Hop us through in the morning. I got woken up. I don't know what was happening.
Well, I woke up this morning at 3:30 for some bizarre reason, but I didn't hear or see any rain, and I haven't really looked outside, so I just assumed it's cold outside. There was some cloud around yesterday that made me, when Sia and I walked out of the recording for the TV show, we were both like, whoa. It looked like, you know those days where you think, like, the aliens are going to come out of the clouds at their flying saucers, and it's like Armageddon, like that kind of thing? So that's what it looked like, but fortunately, none of that.
Yeah.
I mean, it could be just around the corner, though. I mean, especially when you look at the way that the American military is starting to declassify all this alien stuff. I know it doesn't interest everybody, but it sure as hell interests me.
I don't know how I would react if, like, we woke up one day and they were like, listen, aliens. Guys, we've got something to tell you. There's aliens here now, and we got to be friends with them.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh. Well, I'm actually quite like that. I'd be excited. I think humans need to realize, like, we are not our own enemy. Because if you look around the world, look at how badly humans treat humans and how all of our fights are with each other. It's so stupid, right? And then if aliens came, we would suddenly realize, hey, hang on. You know, we better stand together, especially if they threaten us. And hopefully they wouldn't be threatening. I mean, we always assume that a civilization that could travel through space, you know, something that could do... travel at faster than the speed of light, that whatever that might be, that somehow that creature or that civilization would be superior to us, and they wouldn't be violent or primal or stupid or, you know, like conquerors. But you never know. You never know. I'm just hoping that whoever these aliens are that the American government is starting to tell people about, and they really are starting to talk about it. It's incredible to see all of this information starting to pour out. I read a New York Post article the other day, which was, I mean, it's the most open that the U.S. has ever been about all of these things that they've seen, these unidentified flying objects or unidentified flying phenomena, as they call them. I mean, Navy pilots talking about seeing these things dancing around in the sky. And, you know, it's not like some hick out on a farm in the middle of America who said, I was abducted and they took me and they put a probe up my asshole. It's more
right.
Like these are really, you know, these are sophisticated people who, if they say things like that and it's not true, their reputation is damaged badly. So let's see what happens. Anyway, one quick thing.
If that were to happen, though, in South Africa, I think we would be very late to the party because our president, I would assume, would have to tell us that there are aliens around. And now we are so tired of hearing him speak. I think he'll be so late. He'll say, we're calling a meeting.
Jeez.
Half of us don't watch. You know, by the time his speech is done, we'll be invaded.
So after Sia told us yesterday how, because I really wasn't paying attention to social media over the weekend, and then Sia told us about how people were just turning against the president and the government and these new lockdown regulations, I went on Twitter just to see what was going on. Jesus, people are angry, hey? They're like, oh, shut up with your Zweli Mkhize and your Cyril Ramaphosa, and who the hell do you think you are telling us what to do? And just
he didn't change much. Literally just made like the curfew longer. And what else did he change?
Yeah, but you know, Flex, imagine you're a restaurant owner, for example. Now you've got your staff. And you've arranged taxis for them, or you've arranged transport for them, or you've paid them to work until 11 because then it's last rounds and they can leave and they can get out of there by 12, right? Or they have to be home by 12. Now you suddenly have to adjust that just because, you know, there's this third wave. And let me just do the housekeeping I was going to do at the beginning of the show here just to fill you in. So at Cliff Central at the moment, we've got how many people have tested positive, Sia?
Gosh, one, two, three, and I don't know if the fourth one is being serious or not, but someone sent another message this morning.
No, that was Mbulelo. No, he's being serious. He actually did test positive.
So four,
yeah.
And then, two other people are really like down and out and sick, but haven't really been tested yet.
Yeah, I mean, please. You know what? If you feel sick, just stay at home. Don't go near other people, and don't bother. If you think you're sick, just stay at home. You don't need the test, right?
I did, for safe measure, when I left the studio yesterday, stop by and got a green juice, one of those revolting.
Oh, right.
That you're like you're stuck on that, and you have some of that, and you just are saying, Jesus, this is for you and for you keeping me safe. Otherwise, none of this is good for me. It tastes horrible.
Were you worried?
It's so weird. Like,
were you worried about it? Like, because you were around, weren't you around Mbulelo yesterday?
I was around Mbulelo yesterday. Yeah. I was around one, two, three. Actually, I was around all of the people who were tested positive.
Oh, my God.
No, but I'm not worried, but for safe measure.
You should be in isolation, according to the government rules.
Yeah, it's
well, now, here's the thing. We shot our TV show yesterday, and so we have that episode going out tomorrow evening.
Yeah.
And that is quite a bumper episode with the sons of some of the most powerful people in the country.
So it's going to be this is easily one of my favorite shows we've ever recorded. Duduzane Zuma is there. He's Jacob Zuma's son. Andile Ramaphosa, who's Cyril Ramaphosa's son. And Wantu Madonsela, who's Thuli Madonsela's son. So some really, really cool. Yeah, great guests. And I think it's the first time they've ever, Zuma and Ramaphosa, it's the first time they've been together in a studio on TV. So it's quite cool to see.
Yeah. I don't think they've...
Yeah.
Actually, we discovered that yesterday. Yeah,
they were
around each
together
other during the university days.
But you know how, for example, Flax, your parents kind of know other people, and then you work at varsity with them, with their kids, and so on. So it's sort of like that. I don't think they were like the best of friends, but they certainly don't hate each other. You know, the irony is that Duduzane Zuma may be challenging Cyril Ramaphosa at the ANC, conference next year. So that could be a big deal. But, I mean, it was really interesting because I don't want to spoil the whole thing. You'd rather watch the show tomorrow and tell us what you think, because I'd love to hear your feedback on that show. That's the kind of show I want to do, and it's taken us – God. I mean, we're finishing this first year of So What Now, the first season. We're finishing at the end of June, then we're taking a break. So I want you to tell me if this is – if I'm right, because if this is the kind of show that you like and I like it, then we're on to something. So let me know. Anyway, cool. So Theo was saying, as we were recording.
In that whole process, I was so aware of don't touch people, just don't get close to people. But they were so friendly. Yeah. They wanted to like wrap their arms around me. They wanted to high five. And I thought, don't. I can't do this because next thing you get the president sick. I can't have that on my shoulders.
Well, I don't know if you saw that video going around of President Ramaphosa, and he's visiting with Graca Machel, and she's not wearing a mask, and she says in the video, like, oh, I'm not wearing a mask, and he goes, oh, no, don't worry. But the fact is, because she's been vaccinated, I would assume. So if you've been vaccinated, you don't have to wear a mask. So that would seem obvious to me. There's no danger there. But people were going crazy on social media saying, oh, it's so irresponsible of Graca Machel to not have a mask on, and that's the president, blah, blah, blah. How could he allow this? The fact is, if you're an older person and you've been vaccinated, you don't need to wear a mask anymore. You know, a couple of days after your vaccination, you are safe. That's the whole plan. That's why we go for vaccines. If we still had to wear masks and we had to vaccinate and all the other stuff, social distancing, hand sanitizer, all that crap, then no wonder it would be people saying, ah, I don't want to get the vaccine, because they'd say, well, what's the point? You know, unless life gets better, unless I can get back to normal, why bother with this stuff?
Anyway. I thought you can still get COVID if you've had the vaccine. It's just not as bad.
No, you shouldn't. I mean, the whole point of the vaccine is that you shouldn't get it. You should be a little bit sick if it even affects you that badly. It shouldn't. But for some people, the vaccine could make you a little bit sick, but not very sick. And then when you do get the virus, you're immune to it. That's what they say.
Okay. From my understanding, you shouldn't, but you can still get the virus.
Yeah, I mean, it's this tiny chance.
The word virus. I don't want to, as soon as we're all vaccinated or all fine, I don't want to hear about a virus for the next 15 years.
Or the word lockdown.
Robert says, lots of physical contact at Cliff Central. Sounds like a good place to work. Yep. that's how we roll. Nico
says,
at
this point, it sounds like we also lick all the door handles.
No. Nico says he's in the southern Drakensberg. Snow is expected, too, in the next few days. How cool is that? Snow.
Ooh, I'd love to go see the snow. How far is southern Drakensberg?
No, it'll take you a while to get there, but there is some snow, apparently. Well, there have been snow warnings they've been putting out on the weather apps for the last few days about the Drakensberg. It's amazing. To me, that is what makes a northern hemisphere winter really cool, is that snow. Because then it's, you know, I mean, the cold is fine, but we know what cold is like. And in places like, you know, the Free State or the Karoo, Jesus, it gets cold. But they don't always get snow. And it's very rare that they get snow. In Joburg, we haven't had snow for years. There was a little bit, like this tiny, tiny amount a couple of years ago, and everyone lost their minds. But wouldn't it be cool?
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be cool, though, if we could – like go into our gardens or the parks around Joburg and just play around with snowballs and build snowmen. I think that would be really cool. It would make winter interesting instead of just cold and shit. Anyway.
That's so true. It would give you like something to do during winter. Like you have those places like in Canada where winter time is like, oh, it's not just cold. It's now a change of activities to do. You'll start your ice skating and your hockey and that. Here it just gets cold and there's less to do.
Right. Absolutely. So, Flax, tell us what's been happening with you, man. I saw a picture of you on social media the other day. You're doing some work for what is it, TikTok or something?
Yeah, so I'm now on to my second pandemic job.
Yeah?
I've now changed jobs twice during this pandemic, and I work for a company called 365 Digital, and they got the exclusive rights to TikTok in South Africa.
Awesome.
In terms of advertising on the platform.
That's
so I'm now part of their TikTok team.
Listen, you've moved to some pretty cool brands since you left Cliff Central. you worked with Spotify for a while. Now you're working for TikTok. Yeah. It's like you're the guy to watch.
It's very cool how, like, what I'm noticing, like, people I follow on LinkedIn, like, I follow people that work at Facebook, that work at Spotify and TikTok, is that the apps keep taking people from the other companies. So, like, TikTok will start employing people from that worked on Spotify or worked at Facebook, etc.
Okay.
And that's sort of like a trend I'm noticing.
Makes sense.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense, though. Yeah. You know, you're well-versed. You're in those circles. And so you're easily poachable and easily can move around.
Still clever of clever of you, because you're positioning yourself in a way that makes you useful to those companies, and then they want to know why, you know, they should hire you. It's kind of obvious because other people have hired you and it seems to be working. So that's good. That's good stuff. I mean, people talk about how difficult it is to get jobs, and it is. I don't deny that for a second, but you know, there are ways to do it that make it better, make it easier.
I find it so crazy how all these massive companies like your Twitters and your TikToks, et cetera, all just started by like average Joes just coming up with a cool idea, running with it for years, and one day it just blows up and they can't explain or understand why. And it's all because like a tiny thing like a Lil Nas creates a country song and goes viral on the platform and then it just blows up. It's all about like you don't even see it happening that your company is going to blow up. You just wake up one day, something happens, someone talks about it or someone sees it, and then it's just skyrockets.
Well,
but it's also interesting. A few weeks ago, I don't think I brought this up on the show yet. I read an article about Mark Zuckerberg and how he and his siblings were all given the same deal by their parents, which was, do you want to go to university? Mm-hmm. Or would you like us to take that equivalent of a university education and give that to you and open up a franchise of some sort? Hmm. So we put that money into a McDonald's for you and you can run that franchise.
Wow.
And I thought, imagine if Mark Zuckerberg had decided not to go to Harvard and just open
a McDonald's franchise. The world would be a better place. I can promise you that.
I'm telling you, he would be, you know, he would have the smell of grease on him.
Yeah.
And maybe he would have some sort of innovation to make sure that all of the customers are linked together and you could like poke your waiter from behind the counter. Imagine that.
So, I feel like if Mark Zuckerberg didn't create Facebook, somewhere along the line, someone would have created something very similar to Facebook.
Yeah, it was inevitable. It was going to happen.
Yeah.
Anushka says, this is interesting, she came onto YouTube for the show, and for some reason an espresso video came on with Damon being interviewed by Alana Africa and Katlego Maboy 5 years ago. I feel weird now. I remember that video. That was, I think we even sent Damon to Cape Town for that. I can't remember, but they wanted to interview him because he was going on – it was when we'd left 5FM and then he went and spoke about the start of Cliff Central or something. And it was actually a pretty funny interview. But, you know, I feel for old Katlego Maboy. We haven't spoken about him in a while. His ex, who's the one who put out that video of him apologizing about, you know, having an affair or whatever it was, which was so humiliating for the poor guy. Now she apparently is the one who got him cancelled from the South African Television Awards, the SAFTAs, because he was nominated. And this is old news, but we didn't talk about it at the time. And she is so malicious that she actually went and got him cancelled. She's like started a petition online, and you know, because everybody's terrified of Twitter for no good reason. I'll tell you again, there is nothing that you need to fear about Twitter. It's a bunch of morons who shout and scream. Usually it's bots and it's artificially created and it trends for a day or two and then it's gone. But I feel sorry for this dude because, you know, it's not as if his behavior in his personal life as a husband or a boyfriend or whatever. And you can have your own opinions about that if you are in his life and if you care about him, but to stand outside and to judge him on that and to then take away an award that he might or a nomination for an award, which he might actually deserve because he's a damn fine TV presenter, just seems really unfair to me. Like, why bring the guy's personal life into his career? You know, it's sort of like all these people in Hollywood. You hear that they support, you know, let's say they take a stance on an abortion, for example, and it doesn't fit with Hollywood's mainstream view on abortion, then suddenly their nomination for an award is taken away. Or let's say they support Israel or they support Palestine, and then suddenly their nomination's taken away. It just seems to me like that is the kind of totalitarian shit that we shouldn't allow. And we shouldn't allow our institutions to be bastardized like this by people who are terrified of an online noise. I mean, like, these are the same people who would be terrified if, you know, if they heard a bump in the night. These are not people that you rely on to make important decisions in society. And I just feel it's very unfair for Katleho, because I don't think anyone who's ever met him thinks he's a horrible, horrible person. And he may have made some bad decisions, and he may have done some things which some people, including me, might look at and go, well, you know, maybe not the best thing to do. But to take away the guy's nomination for a TV award because of that, because of pressure from his bitter ex, is just horrible. And I feel sorry for him. And as soon as he's willing to talk, we're going to get him on this show to have his, because he hasn't been able.
What do you think?
He hasn't been able to tell his story, right, Sia? At all.
He hasn't said anything.
No.
I'm just playing devil's advocate over here. And as a company, if let's say someone came out and like allegations of cheating and videos like that, like, as a company, I'd also want to disassociate myself with anything attached and any characteristics of that person.
But then you're going to end up with company. No, you're going to end up with no employees eventually, because people aren't perfect. And
yeah,
as a brand, who are you going to hire? Like, who are you going to hire? You're going to hire John Cena, who had to apologize to China the other day because he called Taiwan a country, which it is. You know, these are the kinds of stupid things that companies are doing because they're afraid, and because some brand manager says, oh, we've got to do some damage control, or we've got to spin this. What they're really doing is showing how cowardly they are. And I don't think we should support brands like that. I really don't.
I see it from two sides. Like, I do definitely see it from Katleho's side, whereby, like, shit happens, people make mistakes, etc. But then I also see it from like the brand side, where they don't want to be associated in a public space with like someone that has cheated and etc. So they disassociate by like showing that they take back the award or something. And I sort of see the two sides, and there's no, like, I don't see a middle ground yet where there is an ideal solution where you can sort of still be human but still be a public figure and be attached to brands. Because every move you make is in the public realm.
It sort of feels to me like, you know, again, if you're a student of history, you care about this stuff a whole lot more, which is maybe why it upsets me. Because 80 years ago, the Queen's uncle had to abdicate because he wanted to marry a woman who was divorced. And the royal family and the British institutions and the monarchy and all of the old traditional things in Britain, they all said, oh, no, you can't marry a divorced woman. That is a scandalous thing, and that we can never have a king who's married to a divorced woman. You know, it was a big deal, and times change. Now, imagine a company not hiring a woman because she was divorced. It would be outrageous, right? I mean, there's just no way that we'd allow that. We'd be like, that's discrimination of the worst kind. And I think ultimately what Katleho does in his personal life should have zero bearing on whether or not he gets a TV award for being a good presenter. The fact that his bitter ex-wife started the campaign against him is even more egregious in my mind. But maybe I just don't know her and I know him, and therefore I'm biased. I don't know.
I hate to sound insensitive, but this is when I wish our industry was a little more Americanized and a little more like Hollywood. You know, I see both their sides. I see both I understand somewhat both the ramifications on Katleho's side and Monique's side. And I wish they were playing it up, man. I want to see a photo of Katleho with his son in a park that starts trending on social media to prove that he's a good father. Then I want to see Monique outside a private clinic with a brown envelope crying because she's just had another test that proves that the STD is there. Then I want to see, God. You know, everything must.
You want it to be ramped up. You want it to be like, Chloe and Lamar? You want it to be like that, where didn't he cheat on her and there was chaos and then there was an STD.
Think about Tiger Woods. By the time that story broke, we saw that photo of the Cadillac all broken up. We had a map of the private estate and where Tiger's car drove and where Ellen stopped him, and I need to go all in if we're going to be in. I mean, I'm only human and I contradict myself. Just last before, week I was saying I don't want to know about Bill Gates, but here we are.
Yeah. just before we get to headlines, because that's just around the corner. Flex, will you do a typical YouTuber's like and subscribe for me, please? Because I don't know how to do these yet, and I'm getting everybody else to do them. So you know how you tell people to like and subscribe to your channel. So get people to do this for our channel quickly, please. Here he is, Michael Flex, everybody. Do it.
Hey, guys. You're watching the Gareth Cliff Show on YouTube. Please like and subscribe just over here for daily updates.
Perfect. Okay, that's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Sia likes it too. All right. Sia's very excited by that. That's good. Well done, Flex. That's perfect. Thank you. There's no way I would be able to.
The finger pointing. That's a YouTube.
You got to do that.
I'm not professional enough to do that. But damn, do you know what channel I've been watching on Instagram? And I think there's also TikTok for them as well. It's this guy who owns a hydraulic press. You know, one of those presses that comes down and squashes things? And all he does is puts things in the press. Like, he'll put a whole bunch of sweets in there, or he'll put some coins in there, or he'll put, like, marshmallows, or he'll put cardboard, or he'll put a little statue of, I don't know, Bob the Builder or whatever. And then he squashes all this shit. And just to see what happens when, you know, like, thousands of kilograms of pressure come down on something. It is so much fun. I get caught in that stuff and I can watch it.
I don't know why
it's
so satisfying.
Oh, I love it. It's so good. So that's the kind of shit I'm subscribed to. If you saw what I was subscribed to, you'd think you were following the account of a 15-year-old kid. It's ridiculous.
Did you guys ever get hooked on to that is it ASMR? I don't even know what it stands for, but it's when people eat things and you like listen
there's
to them
mouth noises
eating and chewing.
No.
Apparently huge trend.
Yeah, swallowing and any bodily noises, but like up close, magnified, like sounds of people breathing and swallowing and making mouth noises. I mean, it would drive Sia crazy because he hates that stuff, hates it. And I do too, frankly. But those ASMR things are huge, right?
Yeah.
Like some of these people, some of these people have millions of followers.
I watch a guy who literally, he'll be like, oh, pickles. And then he tries to put as many as he can in his mouth. Or he'll be like, oh, chips. And he'll try to put as many as he can in his mouth. But the thing is, I'll watch it because I want to see how many he can fit in his mouth. And he gets millions of views.
I think it's actually better to tell the world you're a stripper before you tell the world you're an ASMR. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so here's some headlines for you quickly. First of all, again, we start off with Rand Water, who just seemed to be in a bit of a state at the moment. And, you know, it was just a few years ago that people were saying, well, after electricity, they're going to start fucking up water. And look, right on time, the government and the municipality of Johannesburg and everybody involved in water and sanitation, they're fucking up. So here it is. This is a story from EWN this morning. Rand Water said power had been fully restored to Akenhof Water Pump Power Station, but it would, for some time, not be able to supply the high-lying areas. The power failure, which occurred over the weekend, resulted in reservoirs running low, affecting several municipalities in Gauteng. Services at hospitals in the province, including Chris Hani Baragwanath Hospital in Soweto and Leratong Hospital in the West Rand, have been impacted by water cuts. Please, please don't tell me that people in hospital couldn't have water, because that is outrageous, you know?
Yeah, I saw some very sad photos. I think it was outside Charlotte Maclaig or Baragwanath. No, I think it was Charlotte Maclaig. Big cans of water having to be filled up and going onto trolleys and being pushed back into the hospital.
Horrible.
It is so degrading and sad.
Yeah, you think about
how does something like this happen?
Well, because bad management, no maintenance, people who are given the job because of politics instead of because of their capabilities in that job, inefficiencies, corruption, fraud. That's how it happens. It's politicians interfering in things that just need people who have merit. In other words, just if you find a really good administrator, put them in charge of Rand Water. I don't care what party they belong to. Neither do you. Neither does anyone who's hoping to turn on their tap and you know, something will come out. Just put effective people in.
We have like companies that investigate these sort of companies where our government money goes, and it's their job to keep an eye on this company and make sure that what they're doing is according to the books and hiring the right people.
Yes.
Sort of like they do their, what's
their due
again?
Diligence, like, yeah. And they,
that,
they,
but as yeah. well, you know, like at the end of a year, an employee goes for that like test.
Like a job, a performance appraisal, that kind of thing.
Performance appraisal. Surely we should have people doing performance appraisals on government.
Well, technically that is what the executive in government is appointed to do, is to make sure that all the bureaucrats are doing their jobs. But our executive are also rotten and corrupt and stupid. I mean, even Zweli Mkhize is now in trouble with this digital vibes tender that he's supposed to have sent to a relative. You don't know who to trust, and politicians will inevitably make something worse, not better. Very, very rarely do they make anything better. And you know what, Flax? The sad thing is, it's up to us, because no one's checking on these people. It's up to us as citizens to make enough noise and to create enough capacity in our own suburbs, our own neighborhoods, to actually get up and do the work ourselves, because no one's going to do it for us. These people in government are just parasites. That's the only way to put it.
Anyway. Which country in the world has the least corrupt government?
I don't know. They try to rank them. They try to rank most to least corrupt. There's an index that they put out every year, and it's usually the countries that are least corrupt are usually like the Scandinavian ones. So it's Sweden, Norway, Denmark, Finland, Iceland. Occasionally, New Zealand makes it into that list. Sometimes,
occasionally.
Sometimes Holland. Yeah, I mean, it's really, and Canada obviously comes up occasionally, but it's all those kinds of countries where everything just works and it's very efficient and they've got systems in place, and really the politics is neither here nor there, because the difference between a left-wing or a right-wing party is minimal in those places. So you don't have the kinds of issues that we have. And you've got competent officials. You've got government officials who are qualified. In other words, people go to university to study and to perform public administration and services. I mean, someone will go to university with the intention of becoming like the water board CEO, and all their training is around water and pipes and flows and pumps and, you know, the stuff that it's boring, but someone in the world wants to do that. There's somebody in the world who's interested in that. And in places like Norway, that person gets to the top of the pile because they're the most qualified and they're the most hungry for that job. Anyway, not here. Here some cater gets deployed. Anyway, let's move on. EWN also reporting this morning that I saw Malusi Gigaba on the TV yesterday. He was talking about his estranged wife, Norma Ngoma, and he said that she lied when she told the State Capture Commission that he said he was handling the case of naturalization of the Guptas. Anyway, he said as a minister, he didn't have the capacity to do the due diligence for the naturalization of the Guptas, and he relied on officials.
That term again.
Exactly. He relied on officials to make his decision, and Parliament found that he was misled. He and his estranged wife, Norma, he said that she lied when she told the State Capture Commission he was doing all of that. He denies Ngoma's evidence that he took a brown envelope containing the papers from the Guptas to his office. Testifying at the State Capture Commission on Monday, Gigaba said he never told Ngoma he was handling the case. "You are dealing with a liar," he said. Remember, this is his ex-wife. Eh? "You're dealing with a liar." Again, Ngoma is projecting this as this important person with whom I consulted or briefed about everything. This is the same person who once claimed to be responsible for the production of smart ID cards and e-passports at Home Affairs. So he's throwing all the shit back at her that she threw at him. What we're essentially seeing on TV now is the messiest divorce in South Africa. Anyway, he also said that she was coached to implicate him in receiving money from the Guptas, and he alleged that she must have been told to say that she never actually saw him receiving the money so that she wouldn't implicate herself. It's whatever's happening here, it's just so ugly, and it shows you how dirty the ANC is. It shows you how dirty cabinet ministers are. I mean, we talked about this last week. The the schedule of a minister of finance, the guy who handles the state's money, you would think was busy, right? You'd think meeting, doing this, going here, doing that, flying overseas, managing this, making sure that the treasury is up to date, looking at books the whole time to check that the numbers add up. No, he was going for massages with his wife and having lunch in Sandton City and collecting suits that were paid for in cash by his security team. This is not a serious
person.
May
I name and show myself for something that I did yesterday?
Sure.
So there are screens all over the place throughout the ENCA building. And as we were recording with our guests, I thought, these are the people in the know. Of course they know some things about what's happening at the State Capture Commission and they can name drop some people. I'm like trying to get some saucy tidbits about what really happens in South African politics.
Yeah.
So there were a couple of times where I was trying to be smooth and it really wasn't working. Like we were all in the makeup room and Mr. Zuma's getting his makeup done. Mr. Ramaphosa standing in the corner and I tried to sound casual and go, "Ooh, so my Lucy Gigaba, right? Ooh. Look
did,
at him."
Did either of them say anything?
None of them took the bait.
No.
Then I'd go, "Ooh, Judge Zondo, right? Talk about that."
See ya.
Such a loser, but I tried to get something. Okay? That's what counts.
Yeah, it's all so embarrassing. It really is. And I mean, you know, Duduzane had to go to the State Capture Commission some time ago. He was there. Andile's father, Cyril Ramaphosa, the president, he was there just the other day. So, yes, these guys are intimately involved in all of this. And they probably do know. And they probably do watch what's going on there with a lot more care and interest than we do. Then, speaking of crooks and rotten people, Pretoria's High Court has postponed the fraud-related case against the Bushiris. Now, do you know who the Bushiris are, right, Michael Flax? Do you remember them?
He was some dude that was like a priest or something that was doing some dodgy stuff with a lot of the community's money.
Exactly right. That's all you need to know. And I'm proud of you for picking that up because most of the news, because most of the news is so much bullshit that you don't even get the facts. And what you've pretty much said there is all you need to know. But they've got a fraud related case against them, Shepherd Bushiri and his wife Mary. And it's been postponed by the High Court in Pretoria. It relates to a luxury jet which has been seized by the state. The state believes that the 1984 Gulfstream jet was bought through the proceeds of crime. The Bushiris are embroiled in multiple fraud-related cases in South Africa amounting to millions of rands. The case against them was postponed until the 1st of November in their absence. Their lawyer was also not present when the matter was rolled over pending the finalization of their extradition from Malawi, because they're in Malawi at the moment. They're trying to stay in Malawi. The Malawian government is saying, "I don't see why we should send them back to you. You guys let them go. You let them escape. So how's this our problem? Remember?" Anyway, it's all very ugly because essentially these two are crooks. As Michael Flax said at the beginning, they've stolen people's money. Good, kind people who are gullible enough to believe that Shepherd Bushiri and his wife were there to look after their eternal souls. Instead, they took their eternal money. And we'll obviously keep an eye on this story, but the latest is there's a postponement until much later this year. So we'll see what happens. Unbelievable, right? Unbelievable. The petrol price is going to drop, but the cost of diesel... but the cost of diesel will go up. So if you drive a diesel car, sorry for you. If you drive a petrol car, yay! But here's what it is, because it's not going to suddenly make you, able to travel backwards and forwards from Cape Town to Joburg on the smell of an oil rag. The Energy Department has announced that the price of both grades of petrol will decrease by a whole 10 cents a litre on the 2nd of June, while the price of diesel will increase between 20 and 21 cents a litre. So diesel's going up significantly more than petrol's coming down. Illuminating paraffin will cost 20 cents more per litre, and the price of LPG, that's liquid petroleum gas, will drop by 143 cents per kilogram. Those are the numbers.
I got a question around when you guys go to the petrol station.
Yeah.
The first question is, do you tip the petrol attendant?
Yeah. Well, especially if they check the oil or they do the tires or they clean the windscreen, yes, then I do. Not always, but if they do those things, I feel compelled to.
And then second question is, would you, while filling up your car, then run inside to get something and leave your car unlocked? Or would you wait and then drive and park in the parking lot and then go inside?
No, I'll go in while I'm filling up.
See, yeah. I lock my car, but then the alarm goes off and then I'm running outside.
Why? Do you just not trust that your car will be safe?
I'm like scared someone will come and open the boot or like take advantage and go in or something, because like the car's unlocked, I don't have an eye on it.
I think you can never be too safe, but I've heard stories about people who get the petrol attendant to fill up their car and then they drive away before they've paid, and then it ends up being the petrol attendant's job to like pay that money, which is so unfair. So I've heard stories of that, and I therefore feel more sorry for them than I worry about stuff being... Plus, I don't leave a whole lot of shit in my car. I mean, you know, usually if I'm going to work, I have my laptop, and that's in a bag. So that's the only thing I'd be worried about. But my phone I carry with me, and there's nothing else really of value in the car. What are you worried about being stolen, Flax?
Just the laptop, basically.
You don't keep bars of gold in your boot?
Only on Tuesdays.
Oh, okay. Or be careful today then.
Yeah, look out for that.
It is actually it was the last time I was in Durban when my niece called me out on this.
Yeah.
I even forgot that you were not meant to be on your phone when you're at a petrol station.
Yes.
Because I was filling up and I was on my phone. She goes, Uncle Thea, you just can't do that. And I thought, right. Is that really a thing still?
Yeah.
Have we not advanced with technology?
What does the phone do at a petrol station?
I still don't know, well, but I actually am now so aware of the fact that the signs are still
Listen, this is an unestablished fact, but there is a small possibility that your... The interference from your phone creates waves and absorbs waves. That's how it communicates, right? So it communicates through sound and microwaves and ultra high frequency and very high frequency and low frequency emissions, essentially. Those could interfere with the working of the pump, or worse still, they could cause for something to spark somewhere. I mean, there's a very small chance of this, and that could then cause an explosion. I mean, you know, you're dealing with petrol, which is highly flammable. So that people tell you not to use the phone, but really, I suppose it's just being extra careful. It's like someone who says, well, you've been vaccinated, but you still want to wear a mask. It's unnecessary. I have never heard of a case where a cell phone caused a petrol station to explode. If you have, please tell us, because I think that would be a very rare situation indeed. But, you know, any electronic equipment that's being used, there's stuff coming and going in the air, and it may just on a dry day there may be some reason for it to spark something. I don't know. That's what people tell me.
I don't want to tempt fate now.
No. Yeah, I don't enjoy petrol station visits. They're just too risky. Like a fire could happen, and then you know there's like so much petrol around you, or like even while they're filling up, like a tiny little spark could happen, and then the whole thing catches a light and blows up. And I don't see anything but like fire extinguishers there, like to help you. There's no new technology.
Ooh, what a way to go.
All right, last story in the headlines this morning is the NSA spying row. This is interesting. So this has to do with the Danish broadcaster DR. They said Denmark's Defense Intelligence Service collaborated with the US NSA, that's the National Security Agency, to gather information. And apparently, European powers have pressed the U.S. and Denmark over reports that they work together to spy on top European politicians, including Angela Merkel. She's demanding answers now. Both the FE and the NSA are yet to comment. Denmark's Defense Minister Trine Bramsen did not confirm or deny the report, but told AFP's news agency that systemic eavesdropping of close allies is unacceptable. Can you imagine listening into Angela Merkel's calls? I'm surprised they even stayed awake.
I think that whole spy thing is so cool. Like the lengths they will go to, like get a bug put in like someone's office or like behind a picture or something. I think that's like so cool. And the thing is, it is happening. Like people are bugging people and listening into conversations. Like if I was like CEO of a massive, gigantic global company, I'd also like pay some dude to go put a bug in my competitor's office, and we listen into what they're doing and we just be smarter than them. illegal,
yeah,
but cool.
Well, here are a couple. You've started a bit of a discussion.
Just a tiny little thing of it being illegal.
We'll get to spies in a minute, but of course, these are spies that are sanctioned by governments in Denmark and in America. So it's a lot more scary if they're spying on their own allies. It's fine to spy on your enemies, but why your allies, right? So
make sure they're your allies.
Here are some comments on you, your question about why we're not allowed to use our phones at petrol stations. So when Steering Pikachu says, static electricity and fumes. There we go. Racing Fuel Madness says, didn't Mythbusters do this experiment? I think they proved that it was a myth that your phone could start a fire at a petrol station. Cabello says, the same way we have to switch our phones off when we're flying in planes. I don't get it. That's more of a forcing people to be polite thing, as I understand it. That's like if everyone's on their phones, they wouldn't listen to the safety briefing at the beginning, and they wouldn't be paying attention during the flight. So it's more to keep you attentive. I mean, it obviously flies in the face of someone who falls asleep.
Really?
Yeah.
So I heard a different story. I heard it's got to do with, you know how the pilot will talk to, the air control or something?
Air traffic control,
that your phone has the slightest chance of interfering and maybe making that crackly or something like that for a brief second, and they don't want that chance.
I don't know. I'm not going to lie and pretend. I don't know. When Steering Pikachu says Samsung's exploding batteries could be a problem. Yeah, but your phone doesn't even Your phone doesn't have to be on for that to happen. If you've got a faulty battery, it could go off even if the phone is off. Can you imagine that? And you're at a petrol station.
I forgot about those exploding battery days.
No, that was a thing. It was a serious thing. If you pump petrol, it's a lot more common. They get fuel on their pants. And gas fills your pockets. If your phone rings inside your pockets, your pants could burst into flames. I don't know about that. It's very rare that happens.
That sounds plausible.
Difficult, though. White Barry says, I got over the whole spies are cool and mysterious thing after the government spies failed to predict the fall of the Iron Curtain. Well, yeah, I mean, there are effective government spies, but they're not like they are in the movies. You know, if spies were anything like Jack Bauer in 24... we'd be like, spies are cool. But most of them are, they're competent, but not brilliant. And they're not like James Bond or, Tom Cruise in Mission Impossible or, what's the other one?
Spy Kids.
Spy Kids. And Matt Damon in those,
Bourne Identities.
Yeah. It's not like that in real life. So, unfortunately, I mean, in South Africa, we have the National Security Agency. They're out near Irene in Pretoria. They've got a huge campus there. And who knows, they might be listening in to us right now to make sure that we're not talking about anything we shouldn't be. They probably monitor your phone, you know, if you're a very important person. I don't think they'd monitor any of ours, but they might. They might, if someone called you, Sia, you've been dealing a lot with Dudu Zane Zuma and Andile Ramaphosa. They might be listening into you now because they think you're a person of interest.
Do you not think I was aware of this when we booked Noor Bin Laden for the show?
Yes.
A few months ago?
Yeah. Definitely.
So I'd literally just like use my laptop so sparingly. I would sometimes just like answer my emails on my phone, then think, no, my phone is also a problem or suspect. Because you do not Google the things that I Google that week just off a whim.
Well, Elson says this is quite interesting. Apparently, China built the African Union buildings and as a gift to the African Union and then allegedly bugged it for state secrets. Well, I wouldn't put that past China at all. Jesus, they're a rotten.
Wow.
That Chinese government are the most rotten fucking government in the world. I am so angry with China. And now it turns out, you heard Dr. Fauci's even had to roll back on his original statements about this gain of function research that they were doing at that lab in Wuhan, where the coronavirus comes from. Turns out the whole thing might have been laboratory manufactured by China. It's a very plausible theory. In which case, as I said this time last year, go back and listen to the tapes, China must pay. I don't trust China at all. If you are one of those people in the world who still thinks that the Chinese government are filled with good, honest, honorable people, you need your fucking head read. These people are absolutely against any free person in this world who doesn't toe the line for their government. And they are rotten to the core. I do not trust them. China must pay. Fuck them. Sorry, I'm over it. if you knew that there was a government somewhere in this world that had created something that had ruined all of our lives for a whole year and counting, right, which it has, wouldn't you want your government to go to war with them? I would.
But there's no proof that they made it, is there?
Yes, it's starting to come out now. And there was that Chinese doctor who came out and said at the beginning of the whole thing, and she was suddenly silenced and disappeared. Can't trust that government of China for anything.
I think I've been living under a rock, but this is new to me that they're starting to come out that they actually designed the coronavirus.
No, it may have been completely artificially manufactured in a lab in Wuhan, and that's where it all started. And don't for a minute think that I'm blaming the Chinese people. The Chinese people have nothing to do with this. They were the first victims as well. It's the Chinese Communist Party, the government of that fucking country, who are just rotten to the core. Bunch of autocrats. Do not trust
them. I'd also just like to remind...
It's published in the Washington... Go and read the story. It's in the Washington Post, which is not any kind of conspiracy theory rag or a right-wing newspaper. You go and look it up. In the Washington Post, there's proof that this thing was engineered in a laboratory in China. So China, your government has some explaining to do to the whole world. We should all start sanctioning that country. We should punish the Chinese government for what they've let happen here.
I'd like to just take this opportunity to remind both of you about, you know, the story we were talking about a few minutes ago about spies and...
Yeah, good. I hope they're listening.
So
good.
Let's just
I hope you guys listen, because I promise you we're not the only people in South Africa who feel this way, and we're not the only people in the world who feel this way, and China needs to know how we feel about them.
Oh, I'm going home. I'm shutting the door. I'm closing the blinds.
Yeah. Well, Carol agrees with me. You see, there's Carol. She says, I agree. Yeah. Thank God for you and me, Carol. It's just us. Us against the world. Mapelo says, Mapelo says, Gareth, there's a drone over your house sent by the Chinese. Don't panic, run.
Don't panic.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Anyway. All right. If you actually saw how many times Dr. Fauci has changed his opinion on important things, you'd see what I mean about how he's complicit in all of this. Frankly, Sean Bosch says, did you see John Cena apologizing to China about Taiwan? Well, yes, it was the most pathetic thing I've ever seen. John Cena is this wrestling star. He's a Hollywood celebrity. He's been in a couple of movies and TV shows. He works for Universal Studios. And what happened was he made some comment about how Taiwan is a country, which it is. Taiwan is a country. It's an island off of China. It became its own sovereign nation when China, the mainland China, went communist under Mao Zedong, and Chiang Kai-shek started Taiwan, which was the other China, essentially the capitalist China, and Taiwan is obviously just a tiny little island who punch well above their weight, but they have had nothing but predations because mainland China believes that Taiwan should belong to them. So they just steamroll over anyone who says that they are a country and that they deserve rights. Very few countries are even bold enough or brave enough to have embassies of Taiwan in their country. We don't, because we because we suckle on the Chinese teat, Flax. Our government needs China, and China has this Belt and Road Initiative where they basically it's an opportunity for China to cram down whatever they want on a country in return for them giving that country money. And in Africa, that's all that's happening in Kenya. It's happening in Tanzania, happening in Mozambique. It's happening in Angola, and it's happening here.
So if you're mates with Taiwan, you can't be mates with China.
No, they won't allow it. It's like they won't allow you to be mates with Tibet either, because Tibet is, so according to them, Tibet's just part of China. According to the rest of us, Tibet is a sovereign country that China invaded and took over.
Is anyone friends with Taiwan or Tibet that isn't friends with China then?
There are a few countries, but they're few and far between, and China won't have anything to do with them. So, you know, you...
Like not even send electronics, nothing. Like nothing to do with them.
They will have nothing to do with them. They basically...
That's so childish.
I know, but that's how it is. That's how it works. So that's what China... That's a China alike. I'm sorry. And this is the country that gave us the Wuhan virus. So thanks very much for that, guys. Thanks very much.
Well, it's a little extreme that he had to go as far as apologizing. I wonder who coaxed him to do so.
He didn't just apologize. He apologized in Mandarin. He said basically, I wish I could find the clip now because it's the most.
Here's the clip. We can play it.
It's the most pathetic thing ever. Play it quickly, and I'll show you what he's saying there. Look at this.
你好，中国，就是假如西呢，我必须说，现在，在速度与激情中，我做很多采访，很多。
He's basically explaining in one of my interviews, I made a mistake. Everyone asked me if I can use Chinese, speak Chinese. People at Fast and Furious 9 gave me lots of interview information. I made a mistake, he says. I have to say right now, it is so important. I love and respect China and the Chinese people. He says, licking assholes all the way. I'm so sorry for my mistake. I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. I love and respect China and Chinese people. I'm sorry. That's what he said. But basically, all he did to... Have you ever heard such a groveling apology in your life?
Like there's something we don't know.
No, this. I'll tell you what you don't know. So all he said in one of his interviews was Taiwan is a country. China's like, no, you not call Taiwan our country. So he had to... Listen, have you ever heard such a groveling, pathetic apology in your life? He's basically... Yeah. He's basically being teabagged by... Xi Jinping, and the whole world's watching this. Fucking pathetic. It really is just so stupid. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry that your balls are in my mouth, China. Unbelievable.
If this doesn't make you raise your eyebrow at the state of the world and where the true powers are, then I don't know what will. And like they.
Let me tell you something. If the Chinese government think that kind of thing persuades us, it does the opposite. Like, I didn't have any beef with China before. I might have disagreed with them ideologically. But since this virus, and since I see them bullying people into having to make apologies for saying something that is true, that a country exists, who do you think you are? Like, now I'm starting to think I want to boycott everything from there. And I've never thought that before. I never had a problem with any of that before. I don't care where my iPhone is made. I think that China's a valid player in the world. They have every reason to be part of the world economy. They've done some incredible things. There is no reason for a person like me to have this kind of anger or frustration around a country, especially if that country doesn't directly affect my life. But when I see stuff like John Cena apologizing like that, I go, hold on a second. This is not right. Something's going on here that we should all be very, very worried about. Keep kissing ass, John Cena. You keep doing that, you loser. It's pathetic. It makes him look dumb, and it makes the Chinese government look really, really bullying and aggressive. So I'm done with that. When we come back in the next hour, we've got, among other things, Blind History. Michael Flax and Sia will be with us, and we'd like to hear from you. You can get hold of us on 0797482090. Flax, just quickly do the like and subscribe thing again. You did it so beautifully just now. Here he is, Michael Flax.
Yes, please.
Michael Flax on the camera. Go for it.
Hey, guys. You're watching The Gareth Cliff Show on YouTube. Please like and subscribe for daily updates over here. Can't wait to see you soon.
Beautiful. How cool is that? Fantastic. Perfect.
Yes.
All right, Flax, I love it. That's a great way to end the first hour. We'll be back in a moment or two with a whole lot more. Let us know what's on your mind. I've got plenty of other good stuff to show you, too. Stick around. CliffCentral.com